Christ, mercy and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad we can be together tonight as God's family to share the joy of this holy night. One of the great things I love about this time of year are the nativity scenes in people's yards and in their houses. When you look at nativity scenes, it's an interesting collection of people, isn't it? I mean, you have Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, of course. They're the important part. But then you have the wise men, the magi, coming as well with their gifts. But that kind of makes sense because they're kings bringing gifts for the King of Kings. But then you have the shepherds. What exactly are the shepherds doing there? Why of all people did God tell shepherds about the birth of the Savior? Tonight I want to focus on the shepherds, the message they heard, and their incredible reaction to this great message. Let's start with point number one. The shepherds. Luke 2 verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now again, the Gospel of Matthew describes the visit of the wise men. The wise men were rich, respectable. They brought precious gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Again, appropriate visitors for the King of Kings. But the first visitors to the manger are described in Luke 2, the shepherds from Bethlehem. And the shepherds are the complete opposite of the wise men. Wise men are rich, the shepherds are poor. The wise men were respectable, the shepherds were disrespected in their culture. Shepherds in the ancient world were not highly thought of in those days. Most people didn't trust shepherds, especially those who were working as hirelings and did not own the sheep that they cared for. For instance, shepherds in that first century were not allowed to serve in judicial offices. They were not allowed to be witnesses in a court of law. And because of the nature of the shepherd's work, the religious leaders of the day saw them as unclean, unable to enter the temple of the Lord. They were not thought of in high regard in those days, but God had a very different view of shepherds. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord held up shepherds as an example of leadership, the kind of leadership the Lord wanted to see in Israel, both in the temple and in the king's palace. And many of the great heroes of the Old Testament were shepherds, people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of course the young shepherd David, who had killed Goliath and become the greatest king in Israel's history. Most importantly, of course, the Lord himself describes himself as a shepherd, the perfect shepherd. He wrote a whole psalm about it, Psalm 23. I'm sure you know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So maybe it's not surprising that the first people to receive the message that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem were not priests or kings, but shepherds in Bethlehem, the city of David. God loves shepherds. God is a shepherd. And God chooses shepherds to do some of his most important work. And so God sends his angels to share one of the most important messages in history to a group of shepherds. Which brings me to point number two. Number two, the glory. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi, and it was written about 400 years before Christ. Malachi is the last prophet sent to Israel, and then God is silent for 400 years. For 400 years, four centuries, there are no dreams, there are no visions, there are no prophets saying, "The word of the Lord came to me." There is nothing. Not a word from the Lord. And then one night, everything changes. Some shepherds are out watching their flocks by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now the glory of the Lord, there's the super brightness of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the pillar of the fire and the cloud that led God's people through the desert. It's the bright cloud that settles on the tabernacle and then settles on the temple at the dedication. So on a dark night, out in the pastures where there is no light, the nighttime sky explodes with glory. And the shepherds react the same way any sane human being would. They are sore afraid. Now, sore is an old English word that means very or extremely. In the original text, the literal translation is that they were very afraid with great fear. Mentions the word fear twice. Fear is mentioned twice, and the second time it's accompanied by one of the Greek words everybody knows, which is mega. Mega means great. So the shepherds aren't just afraid. The shepherds were afraid with mega fear. They weren't just afraid or scared. They were filled with mega fear. Their fear was the same way I like my McDonald's French fries. It was supersized. But then comes some of the most wonderful words ever spoken. One of the most exciting messages ever given in history. And that brings us to point number three, the message. The first part of the message is, fear not. It's words of comfort. Don't be afraid. These are almost always the first words of every angel. The presence of one angel and its glory is so overwhelming that people completely freeze or fall down out of great fear. The angel assures the shepherds there is nothing to be afraid of, and then proceeds to tell the shepherds some of the best news in all of history. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel tells them, I don't have bad news for you. I have good news. In fact, I have good news of joy. Not just joy, great joy. There's that word great again. Remember what that word is in Greek, right? Mega, right? The angel spoke a message of mega joy. I have good news of great joy that should give you mega joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then the sky fills with angels, all singing at the top of their voices, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And when the angels left, the shepherds could not contain their enthusiasm. They didn't just walk to Bethlehem. They didn't just mosey on down to Bethlehem. They hurried with great haste to see this baby in the manger. They were filled with eagerness and enthusiasm. After hearing the message, their mega fear turned into mega joy. They couldn't contain themselves. They hurried to Bethlehem to see the baby. And when they see the baby, they worship the baby. And after they worship the baby, they tell everybody about the baby because they are filled with mega joy. Their joy is supersized. They can't contain themselves. What a great message. What a great lesson for us. You know, this is a time of year when a lot of people miss out on the joy of the season. And there's lots of reasons for that. Maybe it's because of grief. They miss somebody. Or loss. Maybe because of some hardship they're going through. Maybe because of fear. I know life is not easy. God knows that too. There is so much bad news. Bad news all over the world. And that bad news comes to us in a constant barrage, right? Through our phones. Through our tablets. Through our TVs. And if we keep listening to that bad news, it will eventually fill us with mega fear or mega sadness. But God has good news of mega joy. Because unto you is born the Savior. His name is Jesus, and he is Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. The baby in the manger is born to us, and he is our Savior, and that is reason for joy. God doesn't want us to be filled with sadness. He doesn't want us to be filled with misery. He doesn't want us to be filled with fear. He wants us to be filled with joy, and he wants our joy to be supersized because Jesus is come, because the Lord has come to us to rescue us and to save us. The baby in the manger is born for us. It is the greatest gift in history. And the name tag on the gift says, for you. The baby in the manger is born for you, and he is your Savior. More than that, he is your good shepherd who has come to rescue you. And that's point number four, the good shepherd. The shepherds go to Bethlehem, see the baby in the manger, and they worship him because they recognize who he is. Now, the wise men recognized him too. They recognized Jesus as the King of Kings and gave him gifts that were worthy of the King of Kings. But the shepherds recognize him, I think, as someone different. Sometimes it takes a shepherd to recognize a shepherd, or should I say, the good shepherd. That baby lying in the manger is Psalm 23 in the flesh. Remember Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd? Well, that Lord is right there, lying in the manger. He is Christ, the Lord. The shepherds knew the prophecies. They knew Micah. They knew Micah 5:2. Micah puts it this way, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." Now that's an astonishing prophecy. You know, there's over 300 prophecies that point to Jesus Christ as the Messiah in the Old Testament. But this particular prophecy tells us exactly where the Messiah was born. And here's the astonishing thing. Micah wrote this prophecy 730 years before Christ was born. Now, this is the year 2023, 730 years ago for us was the year 1293. Can you imagine somebody in 1293 predicting the birth of a world leader, one of the most influential people in history in the year 2023, and be able to predict exactly where he would be born in which small town? That's astonishing. There is no other book like the Bible. The whole Bible is the Word of God, and the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem in a small town. And Micah predicted it 730 years before it happened. But he doesn't just predict that the Messiah will be born here. He also predicts what the Messiah will do. He will be a shepherd. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Now, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Some of the most famous words of the Old Testament. Every Jewish person knew that. And then Jesus comes along and says, "You know that shepherd you read about in Psalm 23? That's me. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The hireling flees when the wolf comes, but I am the good shepherd. And I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. And no one can snatch them out of my hand." Now that's good news. That is good news of mega joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.